My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He rose to the number 3 position in the U.S. Air Force, serving as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff. He joins me now to talk about the Trump plan versus ISIS, as opposed to the Clinton plan versus ISIS. Some of the language seems very similar, some of it doesn't, and we'll talk about what each of them means as they talk about these plans. And General, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, on the surface, some of these plans do sound remarkably similar. Here's, for example, is Hillary Clinton at the Democratic Convention a couple of weeks ago explaining what her plan is versus ISIS.
We will strike their sanctuaries from the air and support local forces taking them out on the ground. We will surge our intelligence so we detect and prevent attacks before they happen. We will disrupt their efforts online to reach and radicalize young people in our country. It won't be easy or quick, but make no mistake, we will prevail.
And then earlier this week, Trump says, my administration will aggressively pursue joint and coalition military operations to crush and destroy ISIS, international cooperation to cut off their funding, expanded intelligence, cyber warfare to disrupt and disable their propaganda and recruiting because the internet has been so successful as a recruiting tool. So a lot of the same concepts here, General, but do they mean the same things when they say them?
And no, they don't. Unfortunately, Mrs. Clinton means the same thing that President Obama has done. And we're now in 2 years that ISIS has had a caliphate in Iraq and Syria. The fact is that she doesn't say anything about immigrants coming into the United States, Muslim immigrants, and checking their capabilities to pledge allegiance to our Constitution, which we've had a huge problem. That's why we've had Orlando. That's why we've had San Bernardino. That's why we've had Fort Hood, all these different areas where she wants to bring in more Muslims. We need to hold the Muslims accountable for the radical Islamic spreading. In addition, the air campaign for the last 2 years has been pathetic. We have not destroyed ISIS. When ISIS fled from this small town called Manjib near the Turkish border in Syria, they were coming out by the hundreds, and we did not strike them because we were worried about collateral damage, maybe meaning civilians. Well, the laws of land warfare allow you to do that. And the fact is our humanity to them has caused the inhumanity of the Christians and being the genocide on Christians, on Yazidis, and even on Muslims. So they are completely different. One is talk, one is action, in my opinion.
We're speaking with retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. And, sir, there's another thing that Trump mentioned in his speech in Ohio earlier this week that Hillary Clinton did not mention in her convention address or, as far as I can tell, anywhere else recently. And while listing all those things that we just mentioned that he would do to defeat ISIS militarily, as well as in terms of their recruiting online and so forth, he says, we must use ideological warfare as well, just as we won the Cold War in part by exposing the evils of communism and the virtue of free markets, so too must we take on the ideology of radical Islam. And of course, he points out that President Obama and Secretary Clinton have been reluctant to even use the term. Hillary Clinton, of course, famously towards the end of last year said that Islam has nothing to do with terrorism. So what is how do you describe the difference there, and what would an effective ideological warfare campaign look like?
Well, first of all, you've got to identify it, and it is radical Islam. It is not violent extremism. I know not the ideology of violent extremism, but I do know the ideology of radical Islam. That is the Quran, the Hadith, the sayings of the Prophet, and Sharia law. Those three things are the pillars that drive their rules of engagement and their brutal autocratic way, totalitarian way of governing people. So Mrs. Clinton and President Obama have not yet identified it. She was Secretary of State for 4 years, and she still does not know the ideology. As Sun Tzu said, know thy enemy. If we could not have identified the Nazis and the communists for their ideology, then we would not have defeated them in World War II. And that has been our problem, why this war has gone on for 15 years. We must hold the Muslim societies accountable for this evil ideology, which is as evil as Nazism, fascism, and communism. They must be held accountable. They must fix it. They must rewrite the ideology so it does not permit the radicals to take apart those parts of the ideology that are so destructive to Islam. And infidels, which we are, we cannot do that. So we must hold them accountable. And I was delighted to see an anchor the other day, Trish Regan, when she had a Muslim there and said, "You must fix this ideology. Fix it." And until they don't believe that when you kill innocent civilians and you go to heaven and get 72 virgins, until that mindset is changed, all we are doing is facing the same ideology that we faced against Japan in World War II and Germany. So that is a fundamental difference. And those are the things, because we have Muslims in the United States today that believe in honor killings. We have honor killings that go on in the United States, which means a father or a brother can kill his sister or daughter if she dates infidel or if she doesn't dress properly. That goes on in America. The media hides it, but the fact is, not only does it go on in America, it goes on in Muslim societies. So these are the difference that Mr. Trump is talking about in the ideological warfare. All Americans must understand this, Greg.
General, just a couple of quick questions before we go. First of all, one of the criticisms of Trump from all sides is that he has lacked specifics, whether it's looking at this speech or other things he said on the trail. Is he specific enough for you?
Yes. Look, he's a reality TV star. He was a very good businessman. He built a billion-dollar business, but he got his popularity by "you're fired" and these reality TV shows. So that's the language that he talks about. His language doesn't, and demeanor doesn't worry me as much as Mrs. Clinton's demeanor or actions. Benghazi, four Americans killed there. She never sent reinforcements, a sex state. Libya, attacking Libya when we should never have seized Libya. Gaddafi had it stabilized, and was the only people he was attacking in Benghazi were radical Islamists. Syria, she was Secretary of State when the president drew the red line and then didn't do anything about it. The pullout of Iraq, when we pulled out and then created ISIS by the vacuum of American forces leaving. The Iranian nuclear deal, she started that. We now are giving Iran nuclear weapons, maybe a little later, but they're going to be more modernized. They're testing ICBMs, and they're in Iran, and they are detonating nuclear warheads in North Korea. Four weapons have been detonated. They've always had Iranian observers. So those are the actions that Mrs. Clinton has taken that are failed policies in our foreign policy. So what Mr. Trump says does not bother me.
Last topic, and it's something Secretary Clinton said earlier this week in Pennsylvania, talking about ISIS, and this quote was from the Washington Post. "Donald Trump has been all over the place on ISIS. He's talked about letting Syria become a free zone for ISIS, a major country in the Middle East that could launch attacks against us and others. He's talked about sending ground troops, American ground troops. Well, that is off the table as far as I'm concerned." And others have pointed out, of course, that we have ground troops there right now. But what do you make of her completely removing that? I know you have said in the past that we want a smaller footprint, that the neighbors in the region there need to start doing much more heavy lifting. But what do you make of her saying that it's completely off the table?
Well, you don't take anything off the table, in my opinion. That's where you get in trouble. I do not want American ground troops there, per se. Special ops, yes. We've got somewhere between 3,500 and probably 5,000 total people over there on the ground. The fact is you still do not take it off. I do believe that the Muslims themselves must defeat radical Islam. And if we don't, we'll have the same problem as when we defeated it in Iraq and then we pulled out. So they themselves must attack this evil ideology. And their world must see that they destroyed the caliphate. They destroyed them. But we shouldn't take that type thing off. My problem with Mrs. Clinton is she's going to, again, continue this unilateral disarmament that President Obama has taken us down the road of. And that's why 80% of the Marine fighter aircraft are not mission capable right now. We have the worst mission capable rates we've had ever. And in the same time, we've got the smallest Air Force since before World War II, the smallest Navy, and now the smallest Army. So from a global perspective, we have unilaterally disarmed, and nobody's saying anything about it, Greg.
General, that'll have to be the last word for now. Thank you, sir, as always, very much for your time.
Thank you.
Retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney rose to the position of Assistant Vice Chief of Staff for the Air Force. He's also a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.